So while the children are going back, if you'll stand to hear the ancient words of Moses. Our reading today recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Moses summoned all Israel, and he said, "Hear, Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our ancestors that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up to the mountain. And he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." This ends our reading. Please be seated.
Thanks, Brad. When I was just finishing up my freshman year of college, my dad kind of flew out to the college. It was about a 16-hour drive back. Tragically enough, like 11 and a half hours of that were all within the state of Texas. It's a really big state, and you can drive for a long time and never leave that state at all. So I was driving with my dad, just kind of making our way through East Texas, which contains nothing, right? Just a little town, then a lot of nothing, then a little town, a lot of nothing. And then found the flashing lights going on behind my car when we were driving through a little town. Obviously, the joy of driving is diminished when there's a police car behind you. And then the joy goes down a lot more when your father is in the next seat beside you. You ever been pulled over with your dad in the car with you? Anyone else? There you go, yeah. Not like a highlight of anything, right? So the cop comes over and says, "Hey, it's actually in a construction zone. You should have been doing 25. And I'm like, there's not a cone in sight. There's like, where's even the sign for that? So here's where my dad actually came in good for me. He's like, "I was paying attention the whole way, and there wasn't a sign. Can we go back and check?" So the cop actually went back over the last half mile, and he came back and he said, "The sign that was there is gone." So did I get a ticket? No. Because we've been talking about boundaries, right? Speed limit is a boundary, right? This is how fast you are allowed to go by the government. But boundaries only exist when they're clearly expressed. Right? So if the boundary is simply in your head, then it's not a real boundary until it's been expressed to somebody else. So all this conversation we've had about boundaries, if you are beginning to think about boundaries in your own life and what is my own backpack, my own emotions, my own choices versus someone else's, none of that matters until you're able to express it to somebody else. Right? The boundaries that separate and guide our lives need to be expressed. So we're going to take a look back at Deuteronomy that Brad just read for us. When we look there, though, we have this sense it's one of the two places in the Bible that the Ten Commandments are listed. We say the words Ten Commandments, we've already got kind of the weight of the Ten Commandments resting upon us. Over here on our whole Bible outline, the whole first mountain, what's at the top of the first mountain? Ten Commandments are at the top of the first mountain, right? So there's all that kind of weight about it. I want to reframe that whole conversation for you a little bit, though. Even the idea, the phrasing of Ten Commandments isn't a biblical phrasing of that. It doesn't show up in the Bible. The Bible never mentions Ten Commandments as a statement of things. The Greek actually goes back, and when they rephrased it, they talked about a decalogue, which in Greek means the ten words. So it said, hey, there's ten ideas that are encompassed here, ten statements, not necessarily Ten Commandments. Different denominations order the commandments in different numbers. If you've ever memorized a group, you can go to a different group and have them ordered differently. The Hebrews actually had a really unique ordering system as well. They began earlier than anyone else. When you look in Deuteronomy 5, most people think that the Ten Commandments start in verse 7, right? You shall have no other gods before me. Pretty much universally, first commandment, no other gods. The Hebrews actually backed it up to verse 6, And they said, this is actually the first word. Out of the 10 words that are here, this is the first word. And it goes like this. It's kind of what happens anytime you go to a new setting, right? You're hanging out at work maybe for the first day. You're meeting some new friends somewhere, and they are meeting some other people. And what's the first thing you do, right? You stick out your hand and you say, hi, my name is, and you fill in the blank, right? We even have little name tags to help us out with that, right? That's really what God is doing here. He says, hey, I know we've just come out of Egypt, out of that place of slavery, so let me then introduce myself to you. First statement that's encompassed there, right? He says, hi, my name is Yahweh. It means the one who always was, always is, and always will be. I'm your God. Remember, you were slaves, and now you weren't anymore, so you know a little bit about who I am, what I like to do, the choices that I like to make. This is my identity. Just as any of us does in initiating a relationship, right, we reveal a bit of ourself. We say, this is who I am. The essence of doing that is to begin a relationship. This is God, on a larger scale, saying, I'd like to introduce myself to you and say, this is who I am. Now, we've talked about identity, and identity always then reveals boundaries around us. Identity is what is unique about me and separates me from other people. And so God then begins to say, hey, because of this revelation of who I am, because I'm introducing myself to you, I want you then to begin to see what it is that makes me unique and the boundaries that are around me. And so the rest of the commandments or words are really just God beginning that relationship and saying, I'd like to have a good relationship with you. Let me introduce myself in a really clear way so you know who I am, what I like, what I value, what it's all about, right? That's healthy relationships. So God begins in the first one and says, I just want to be clear from the beginning that I'm not in for like a multiple relationship kind of thing, right? If you want to be with me and I want to be with you, which I do, then you don't get to have someone else involved in your heart, right? It's the same statement that's made every time you get married, right? You stand up in front of your family and friends and you make the exact same statement that occurs on that second now statement in chapter 5, verse 7. And you say, hey, I want you to commit yourself to me and not look at any other girls. I want you to commit yourself to me and not spend a whole lot of time around other guys or invest your heart in them. Right? It's not a weird statement at all. It's not even a commandment. It's just relationship. That comes to this certain level that God's saying, hey, I want a really close relationship with you, but that means you can't give your heart somewhere else. Right? He goes on in the next statement after that, that seems almost a little bit more petty on some levels. He says, hey, I don't want you to make any images about me. Right? I never look as good in pictures. Anyone else feel that the same way too, right? Don't take pictures of me. I don't look good in pictures, right? So here's God saying, I don't want you to make any images of me. Now, what that really is this personal preference that he has, right? God could have easily said, make images of me every day, because I really love it when you draw images of me. But here is him individually saying, I know my own personhood, I know my own beauty and my own value, and you're just not good enough at art to make up the difference. So how about we just don't do it, right? That's what I want, which is what a boundary is. It's God saying, I'm owning my own choices, my own being, my own identity. I want to have a relationship with you. This is what it looks like. He goes on right afterward to say, hey, the way that you talk about me matters too. And my name has significance to me, so I'm putting a boundary around it. I don't want you to use it in stupid ways. I don't want you to tie it into other things. I want you to speak in ways that affirm me and that value me. That's a really healthy boundary to have, right? If you're going to use my name or talk about me, do it in ways that really honor and delight in me, right? You could understand that being healthy in any human relationship, right? Don't trash my name. Don't drag it down. He goes on afterward, we've got a commandment about a Sabbath day, but what it really is God saying, I want to be a regular part of your schedule in your life. I don't want to be this occasional thing that comes out here and there. If we're going to have a relationship, then I want to be a regular aspect of that. And you can easily imagine, again, any marriage where you would say, hey, I like you so much that I want to date you every week. I want to spend time with you. I want to invest deeply in you. Can we have time where we're not doing projects around the house or we're not just accomplishing this other thing or scheduling out things here and there, but just time to be together? Right? That's a beautiful boundary that is. So God is really saying here, not a list of rules, but he's saying, I want a relationship with you. And this is what a relationship with me looks like, because God says, I know myself, I know my identity, I know the boundaries that come around me. And this is what it's like to have that relationship. The rest of the ones where he begins to look at others is him saying, if you love me, you're going to love me by the way you treat other people. Because I care. And if you're someone that's going to steal things from others, then we're going to have a distance in our relationship. It isn't going to work well for us. So what you have then is God being incredibly clear about what it is to have a relationship with him. He says, I know who I am, and I want to tell you who it is that I am and how you have a relationship with me. This whole book here is really God revealing himself and then saying, here are the boundaries that I have around me. Here are the things that I love. Here are the things that I don't love. Here are the actions that I take so that you know it ahead of time. Man, that's an amazing gift. In a lot of our relationships, we stumble around because we don't really know where boundaries are whatsoever. But God says really clearly, I love you. You don't have to weasel it out of me. You don't have to wonder, is it really true or not? He says, I do. I find deep value in you. If you ever confess your sins, I promise I'm going to forgive you. Here's the things that I love. Here's the things that I hate. Boom, it's all out there. You may not like it. You may disagree with parts of it, but hands down, it's at least clear. You have every opportunity to pick that thing up and say, who is this God? What does he want? What does he not want? Right? It's absolutely clear. And again, you can reject it if you want to. You can embrace it if you want to. But God has said, I know who I am. This is who I am. And this is how I want to have a relationship. Can you imagine how rich our own relationships would be if we could do that? If we could walk up to somebody new, or even walk up to people that we've known a long time and say, this is legitimately who I am. This is my identity. And these are the ways that you relate well to me. Really clear, really simple. Write it out. You can read it if you want to. Read it again and again. Imagine how much healthier our relationships would be. But our boundaries don't really get expressed like that. They usually turn out looking a lot more like this. Right? I mean, they're vague at places. They squiggle around all over the place. Right? Well, sometimes this matters to me, and sometimes this doesn't matter to me. And sometimes I'll get really angry if you do that and withdraw. And other times I won't even care if you do that. You know, and they're moving all over the place. Right? It's this constantly shifting sand of things. You know, even places that are legitimately us because we're afraid about other people, we move the boundary over for that, right? It's a mess. And then we wonder why having relationships are really confusing and difficult to have, because even the boundaries that we sometimes so kind of say, well, every once in a while I'd really like it if you do that, then we change some other day and we don't. Right? You ever had a relationship where sometimes somebody likes something and other times they don't? Right? It's a really confusing place to be. This mess of boundaries that we often express comes about largely because of this place of fear in our life. Right? It's fear that keeps us from really holding those strong boundaries. So a fear that we're going to lose a relationship if I push a boundary, so we let go of it. A fear of guilt. If I set a solid boundary, are you going to make me feel guilty because I'm not meeting some need that you want me to meet? Because I'm not climbing into your backpack and I'm staying inside my own? Now I'm going to feel guilty about that. A fear of not being loved. If I'm not doing what you ask me to do, so I let you manipulate me and move my boundaries around. A fear that I'm going to lose your approval. That you may not like me if I set a firm boundary and say, I'm not going to do that, or I need this from you to have a relationship. Right? There's a fear of anger. If I set a boundary or I hold you back somewhere or I say no, which is what boundaries are about, then you're going to be angry at me. And then because of that fear, I'm going to move my boundaries all over and I'm sorry, I'll squiggle it back over here, whatever it takes to adjust those things. A fear even of being known, right? If I set real boundaries around who I legitimately am, then I show who I am and I show my heart. And what if you look at that and then you walk away? And you don't value it the way I want to be valued, right? So maybe I'll just move my boundaries to where you think they ought to be and change my identity to match who you might want me to be, so that then I won't have to be afraid of maybe being rejected, right? All those things are very honest. And we feel those all the time. And that's why our boundaries often get expressed like that. So that it's hard, even in a marriage, to be able to look and say, I know exactly what you need and who you are. And in other relationships, it gets kind of crazy on that level too. When you begin to live with unclear boundaries, and these are the kind of actions that begin to happen in your life, you begin to withdraw, right? Withdrawal, whether it is a verbal one, like I'm just not talking anymore, whether it's emotional, I'll keep talking, but there's no more heart in this. Just facts, right? Whatever it is, but I'm not even connecting to you. I have no sympathy, no compassion, or even physical withdrawal, right? I'm just going somewhere else. Maybe leaving the house completely. Maybe I'm going to another room. Maybe I'm putting on the headphones. I'm staring at the TV, right? I'm not engaged anymore. Whatever it might be, right? Often that is because we're afraid to express some other kind of thing, right? I'm wounded. That's what it says. I'm hurt by you, but you should know me well enough to know what that hurt is about, so I'm not telling you. And we can laugh because we've all seen that at various times. But the reality is no one else is inside your head like you are. So if you haven't expressed the boundary, even though you might be hurt, no one else around you knows exactly what it is. Right? So that withdrawal is a sense that I'm too afraid to express the boundary, but I still want legitimately to be hurt because you didn't meet the boundary that I didn't tell you about, that I'm expecting you to have known just because it's so deep in my heart, right? We resent others. We're shocked in our own minds, like, how in the world does she keep doing that? Does she not realize what she's doing? And yet we're too afraid to actually step out and express, this is how it feels when you do that, right? So we can mentally churn things over and build a lot of resentment and a lot of anger about actions that other people take, etc., but never take the step of saying, hey, I want to be clear with you. That actually hurts me. And then see where they respond in the middle of it, right? When we do this and we have secret boundaries, we sometimes privately endure someone else's irresponsibility. Maybe that's just short term, maybe it's long term, lasting a long time. But we put up with their irresponsibility because, again, we're too afraid to express, like, this is what your behavior is doing. This is how it has consequences. And so we suffer, like maybe righteously on our own or whatever, but in reality, we're just suffering because we never expressed a clear boundary. And we never said, hey, this is not legitimate. This is my backpack, and you don't have a place in there. Or that's your backpack, and I don't have a place in there. Whatever it is, right? Sometimes we comply with things. Sometimes it's a short amount of time. Sometimes it goes for years, right? We put up with it. Until eventually, we just are done putting up with it. Most of the time that couples come to me for marriage counseling after they're kind of in their initial premarital stuff, like later on, something's broken in there. Most of the time, it has to do with boundaries that have not been expressed. There's resentment that's built up. There's withdrawal from the relationship. You know, there's frustration on some level, and most of the time there's stuff that's in my heart that I needed from you, but I never expressed it to your face. And so there's all this surprise, I never know that you needed that. I never understood that, right? Because we're not good about pulling out those boundaries and expressing those kinds of things. And that happens across the board, right? It happens even on more microscopic levels, not lasting for decades or whatever else it is, right? If you've ever had children or been a sibling, you have lived this, right? Because as siblings, we hang out with each other, right? All siblings do this, right? We poke fun, we're having a good time, you know, we know the buttons to push to kind of get a little bit, and there's always that place within a boundary where that's legitimate sibling fun, right? That's just kind of how we relate with each other and kind of bond together. And then there's a place that you cross a line. But when have you ever seen one of the siblings just stop and say, hey, you know what? Right now, I notice that this isn't fun for me anymore, and that really has begun to hurt me. Could we do something else together? Right? That would be a clear boundary, right? That would be me saying, hey, this isn't working out in the fun level anymore. But almost never does that happen, and instead someone just resents a little bit and like, now it's hurting me and now you really want to hurt me. What was fun like 2 minutes earlier isn't anymore, and it just keeps pressing and pressing until what happens? What is like the end of that usually? 98% of the time. This, right? Boom. And it's a hit, or it's a physical hit, or it's a verbal hit. You know, whatever it is, it says, boom, back off. And in that moment, with the eruption of emotion, etc., everybody knows, wow, somebody's boundary got crossed. But we don't know what it was. Right, so then even if as parents you come in there and you settle it down, everybody like say you're sorry, whatever, do we really know what was wrong? Like, do we really have that moment to come and say, hey, this is why that hurt me? Because then we understand the boundary for the future, and those things get repeated again and again because we just aren't clear. Again, we scribble the boundaries all over the place. Right? The bad news for us now is that if your boundary looks like that kid drawn on that sheet of paper, and they're confused, and they're irregular, and they're all over the place, you don't have a legitimate right to be upset when someone crosses those. So all that resentment and frustration you might be harboring in your heart about how wrong someone else is, if you haven't clearly told them what you need or where your boundary is, you don't have a right to be angry at them. It's the bad news. The good news is, you can go ahead and draw that boundary anytime you want. You can do it today, right? So the past is whatever it is, right? If you haven't drawn it before, you can't really hold them to that stuff. You should have known what I was thinking. You should have known how it felt. It's not real, right? There's only one person inside your head, and unless you express it, nobody else has access to that, barring God, right? So here are the boundaries that we need to express. One caveat to that I need to throw in here, just so that this doesn't get abused, right? You cannot hold people to boundaries that have not been expressed, but they don't have to be expressed by you, right? So case in point, if I have never told my wife that I don't want her to gossip about me, she doesn't have free rein to gossip until I express that boundary, because somebody else, namely Jesus, has already drawn the boundary for her. Right, so wherever God has drawn boundaries, they apply whether I say them or not. I don't have to tell my daughter that she needs to honor me as her father. God's already drawn that boundary for her in that relationship. Right, so where God's drawn the boundary, I don't have to repeat it. I can, and I can explain what that means for me to be honored. But it's not a legitimate exemption. You never told me, therefore I get to hurt you. Right, do we understand that? God's already drawn boundaries. We add other ones in the middle of that. What I want to do as we finish up our time today is just make this really, really practical. And I'll just share with you my heart as your pastor, as your shepherd. I come up here week in and week out, right? And give you these things to chew on and things that filter into your head. I don't really care so much if it piques your interest. I don't really care so much if you even tell me afterward that was a great sermon. It's fine if you do. Honestly, my deepest heart is that somehow this makes its way into your life. Hands down, every week, that's what I hunger after. That's what I pray to God. Like, what am I going to do that makes this more than a 25-minute experience in your life? It means that when you walk out of here, you begin to hold that inside of you. I want you to mature in your faith in Christ more than anything. And so as we finish up this time, this is what I'm most hungry for. Is it time for you to really apply this and to begin to seek in your life and say, can I begin to express a boundary today? That's a simple, simple goal that we have. We want to take a couple minutes right now to search in my own life and say, is there a clear boundary that I can draw in one relationship? Right? There's a lot of room to grow into that, but is there at least one that I can draw? Right? So you see listed for you in the bulletin a list of some boundary ideas for you. That is all that those are, right? They are simply things to get you thinking, right? So I need time to play my video game. I need time to read my book, right? That's a legitimate boundary to have. You don't always have to be at the beck and call of other people around you, right? I need the next 30 minutes to go do this. I need the next hour to watch a really stupid TV program, but I just need to do it, and I need the space to do that, right? I want to read the newspaper, and I just want to sit down and read it for 30 minutes. Those are all legitimate boundaries, right? I need to know when you're coming home, whether you're a teenager that's coming back, whether you're a spouse is coming back. I need to know, right, when to expect those things. Legitimate boundaries to have. I need to be a priority in your weekly schedule. You know, it's a Sabbath day boundary, right? I need space where you want to be with me. Not just, again, happenstance in life, but where I am the focus of your attention. It's a legitimate boundary. I need to know where the money goes. It's not good enough just to say, trust me, I've got it all figured out, it'll be okay. For some people, that's fine. Maybe for you, it's not. These aren't all boundaries for everybody. It's just you listening. Where do I need to find a boundary? Where do I need to give expression? I need you not to raise your voice when you speak to me. I need you to keep it on an even tone, or I need to walk away. That's a legitimate boundary to offer to other people around you, right? I need you not to interrupt when I'm talking. I want to listen well to you. I need you to listen well to me, right? I need to know a day ahead of time if you need something from the store. If you're a parent, this is a great one. Like, I mean, just can't tell me 30 minutes before I need this for school. Then that's your issue. That's your backpack, right? I know you can't get to the store, but I need time to be able to schedule that into my life. That's my backpack. I need the family not to check phones during dinner. I need quiet to sleep. I need 8 hours of sleep, right? I can't move around. That's a healthy boundary. Honestly, everybody should know, what are my boundaries for sleep, like for my own body, for my own health? And hold to those. And barring emergencies, they don't get moved around. You need to take care of yourself, right? I need you not to criticize me in public. I need you to ask once and then give me space to actually put it into process. I'm not responsible for fixing your emotions. Again, a range of these things out there. What I really want you to do right now is to center in on three kind of emotional words. I want you to look in your life for where there is withdrawal from other relationships, where you hold back, even where you hold back a little bit emotionally, right? Look for places of frustration in relationship. Look for places of resentment. When those things show up, there are usually signs that somehow there's a boundary that isn't really being expressed. So can you take just a minute or two right now to search through your life and say, is there at least one boundary that I could find that honors my own identity, who I am, that I could legitimately express to another human being today? God, I thank you that you've made each one of us to be unique. Boundaries are just healthy for us, and I ask that you would graciously reveal to every one of us, God, from kids on up today, a boundary that we could say to another human being and just learn what it's like to be able to defend our own hearts, right, and protect the wellspring of our life. Guide us in that, we pray. We all work at different speeds. Maybe you've got even a couple clear boundaries right now. Maybe it's just a mess to figure out, right? It's just a scribbled page. I don't even know where to start on that. If it's difficult for you, please don't give up on it. This is your heart that we're defending here. And it's worth it. So ask some other people for good boundaries. Ask input of friends or family around you. Right, what do you think a good one will be? If they love you and they know you, they'll have some really good ideas that will help protect and defend that heart. I would love for everyone today to be able to speak to another person, here's a boundary that I have. The other thing that I want you to grab a hold of are just those three words, and maybe even write those down in there. They're really key. Withdraw, frustration, resentment. When you see that crop up, it is a warning sign that moving on without clarifying boundaries is not going to be helpful. Right? If you see it happening in your life, then you just need to say, I need to step back and figure out what boundary is causing me to be so angry and hurt right now so I can express it to you. If you see someone else withdrawing, then it's an opportunity to come to them and say, I feel like you're pulling back from me right now. Is there a boundary that I'm not fully aware of, or you want to remind me again about so that I can honor and protect that, right? I see resentment building up. Is there some kind of boundary we need to have? It is a great indicator for you the rest of your life. That's really the issue that's going on. Doesn't mean somebody hates you. Doesn't mean something, like, it just means we need to figure out what the boundary is. And once that's in place, then we can honor and protect each other as individuals. Father, we pray that you would grant us these gifts, that not only just in this series, but as we move on from here, that we would be boundary people, able to own our own boundaries and be able to honor those of others around us. Just grant us the relationships of life that come from that. You're so gracious and good to us, Father. We want to offer our lives back to you now and be blessed as you lead us.